Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
what you think, you slick Rick?
Yeah,
enough.
Yo, what up? It is Big
What's
Red.
Up?
Another episode of The Menu on deck. Listen, it's on me. Sorry for my tardiness.
Tardiness.
And
tardy
Blog Talk Radio land. Yeah, sorry. But I just literally came back from off the road. I went to Virginia this weekend. A couple of boys and I took a nice little drive out to VA to meet up, you know, with another brother of ours that we haven't seen in years. And man, let me tell you, Big Red, if you ain't did a road trip recently, you gotta do one. Like I really realized how much I needed that. Like my stomach muscles are stronger now than when I left because he was laughing so hard. I didn't even need to go to the gym.
You say your stomach was so strong.
Yo, my stomach, right now, my stomach muscles are stronger than a Titan right now. If you punch me in my stomach with an axe, and you're not going to happen. Well, I don't know about an axe. Maybe a sledgehammer.
Get a cannon. We're going to get a cannon.
Get a cannon.
Well, that's good. Like I said, you needed that. So you need that. Everybody needs to have a release, whether it's something that's, it don't always have to be all overseas or getting on somebody's boat or plane on the side. Sometimes you just need a road trip just to get out the city.
Exactly. Man, listen. And it wasn't a bad drive. We didn't go deep into Virginia. It was like, what was it, Ridgewood. And we were staying in some area, Dale City. Actually, we were like right next to the Quantico Army base.
Oh, okay.
Where we were staying at. But, man, it just felt good to just get away, just to breathe some different air, see a whole bunch of trees. You know, people look at you differently because, you don't look like them. You look like New York. It was refreshing. It was very refreshing.
Right.
So,
right.
That's on my, Red gotta stuck on a chip. One day we gotta go hit AC or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Go ball out.
Yep, definitely. I'm down.
Oh yeah. Summer's coming, so we gotta make moves.
Make that move.
No doubt. So what up, Red? What's going on?
Nothing, just chilling, just taking care of some, things today. I did my little, womanly things, got my nails done, toes, eyebrows,
Getting all purdy.
Did a little shopping for myself. For once, I can't say for once in my life, but, I'm starting to, when your kids get older, you're starting to, you start to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
You don't mind doing something for the kids once in a while, but, they're not kids no more. And they, they can do their own thing. It's time for me to do stuff for me, things that I.
You got to pamper. You got to pamper yourself.
That's right.
You got to pamper yourself. You know what I'm saying?
That's
ain't nothing
right.
wrong with that. I know sometimes we feel guilty about doing it because we feel like we're taking away for them, but,
Right.
Yeah,
right.
them boys is big.
Yeah, them horses. Say it right, horses. The horses can take care of themselves without horses.
gosh.
Yeah,
sometimes
I don't like neglecting my house. I'm talking about my house in terms of just keeping my house together. So sometimes I'll be like, but you know, I got to do something, you know, and I'm like, listen, I'll do that when I come back. It's going to still be there when I come back. So.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Certain things, you're not quitting, you're not doing it, you're just postponing it just a little bit. You know, things
right.
happen. Things do
yep.
happen, so, you know, we have to kind of plan accordingly. But,
yep,
yeah, what up, everybody? Once again, it is Big Red and Brother B. We're rocking with the menu. The guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That is 347-324-3395. And tonight's topic, white
yes.
privilege. What the hell is that?
Oh, man.
Do you want to start?
What is it?
What is it? You want to start off?
Well,
you want to set it off?
This is my first time really, like, you know, for, I guess, this is my first time of something like hearing of that, and it's coming actually being something or coming out, because I think we always knew it was there, but we didn't know what it was. I guess we didn't know what it was called, or they're putting, I think after all the shootings and stuff like that, I think that's when it started coming out more of that word of white privilege. Go ahead.
No, real quick, not to interject, but it goes along the lines of what you're saying. So you don't think that people, like, they were calling it just like some type of cop privilege? You think it just really had something to do more on lines of being white, or just like from a law enforcement perspective?
I think, and you know what, I think, and now that you said that, yeah, I think that's what, like I said, because of what was going, you know, after that, all the shootings and everything that was going on for the last year and a half that it was happening, I think that's when it really came out. It was like, you know, that word came out, white privilege, because people were starting to see, or were starting to see that, yo, why is it that this is happening to our people, people of color, and nothing happens to anybody else? Now, once again, I'm not saying that it may not be happening, but you're not hearing about it. But that's going back, also going back to, once again, like we always talk about, society, how does the media and society put something out there, and they run with it when they put it out there. And
yeah.
then that's what, I think that's what brings the, you know, a lot of people, that's what I think brings a lot of the separation with everybody. It's like they want to keep that going. They're not trying
True.
To stop it. They want to keep this going.
Well, of course, because you know what? It's all about continuing the insult. Now, me personally, I mean, when it comes down to white privilege, like, it's always been there. Because now listen, let me put down my disclaimer. No. I am not a racist, a bigot, or biased when it comes to Caucasian people. I like Caucasian people. Listen, I like everybody. I don't like people that don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that. So
or get on our nerves or your nerves.
Oh yeah, that's true. Or get on my nerves.
That's right.
Like,
don't get on my nerves.
When you go into another lane and you don't signal. You cut me off. But anyway,
right.
So if you're sitting there listening, whether now or later, and you're like, oh, this Brother B guy, he's a racist bat. Like, listen, to quote Big Daddy Kane, put a quarter in your ass because you played yourself. I'm not any of that. I'm not racist. Like, I like all types of people. Listen, I got love for everybody. Simple, plain, that's that. But my thing is this. We have all types of different people. You have, just like you have your good black people, you have your bad black people. You have your good white people, you have your, you know, your bad white people. Like, there's good and bad in everyone. John Lennon
right.
said it in a song. Or Paul McCartney said it in a song, actually. So my whole thing is this. You have a group or you have a certain percentage of Caucasian people who seem to think that they're entitled to any and everything because they are white. And they got this hype in their head that, oh, well, white people built this country, white people did this, white people did that, so we are the rulers, we are this and we are that. Now, my thing is, why do you feel that you have to be number one?
Because this is what this is what people are making them feel. This is what society has made them feel, from law enforcement to presidents to, you know, this is what they made them feel, that they are number one.
Okay, well, first of all, they don't make anything or start anything that they can't control. That's number one. Except for the whole thing of slavery. Because, see, in the grand scheme of things, we were never supposed to go past the cotton field. We were never supposed to get this far in society or in life, period.
Right.
We were so, like, their whole thing is when they started slavery, we were supposed to be in chains and in servitude forever.
Right.
That was the plan.
Right.
Because when they wrote the Constitution or the Emancipation Proclamation and all this other stuff, we were not considered, well, we were considered three-fourths of a third of a human, or a third, you know what I'm saying, a third of a human. So we weren't a part of all that.
Right. We
weren't considered fully human. We considered subhuman. So everything and all the stuff that they wrote, it was all about them. And the fact that we got this far, which we ain't even far as we should be, but that's another topic, but being that we've gotten this far, it pisses those entitled ones off.
Right. Oh, of
course. Because some of them may not be doing their best, but the fact is, even if they are doing good, just to see us doing good and not serving them is a serious problem. Because once again, I'm entitled. I'm entitled to this. And it trickles down to law enforcement. It trickles into the politics. The whole white privilege trickles down into everything. And whoever wants to try and come on and deny it, listen, 347-324-3395 is the guest calling number. I welcome everybody, all people, whatever. Listen, put your cat on the phone if your cat wants to talk. And talk about, you know what I'm saying, this whole white privilege thing. And find out why cats have been treated. You know what I'm saying? Find out why cats have been treated. Or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But see, you know what? But still, if you think about it, they still have, I think it also comes from because they know that they still have the power. Because once again, look at some of these jobs that we do that they're not going to do. I'm going to give you an example. Once again, you could say like communications, like 911, 311, jobs like that. They're not going to do those jobs like that.
No, because it's not a career.
Right, and they're not
going to
do jobs like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and I've worked in both fields where I haven't seen, you know, like things like telecommunications and what other type of jobs are there? Like fast food and stuff. You don't see them working those jobs.
No.
Hardly. You don't see them working those jobs like that.
No. No, and you continue to not see that because their whole thing is that's beneath us.
Right,
But
it's beneath them. But guess what? If them jobs are not done, if we're not doing them jobs, how do you get your service? Like, I'm going to say I work for 311. Now, the majority of people that work there are our people. And guess what? The majority that call there, huh?
I say, okay, minority.
Yeah. And but you know the majority of people that work there, I mean that call there, are Caucasian people. And you know, and like I said, if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't get your services done. You wouldn't get anything done.
Well, see, all right, let's look at it like this. Go ahead, no, finish, please.
No. You wouldn't get half the things that you're getting if it wasn't for us sitting there taking, you know, listening to all your griefs and grievances, and you want to make a complaint about this and complain about that. And once again, what killed me is you're complaining about things or complaining about places that we have been living for years, and now you want to complain about that stuff because now you're not living somewhere where it was quiet. Oh, I used to live in Long Island where it was quiet. Yeah, but now you had to move to Brooklyn. Okay, on Franklin and Bedford or whatever, and now you want to complain about people that's been living there for years because they're making noise, they're outside drinking, they're this, they're that. Okay, it's not going to be your way because these people have been living there for years.
All right, well, I feel
before
like
you got there.
And I agree. My thing is, why would you, if you don't like bugs, why would you go camping?
It's cheaper.
If you don't like Mexican food, why go to Chi Chi's?
Like I said, it's
you
cheaper.
Know what I'm saying? But yeah, it may be cheaper, but in the grand scheme of things, cheap is not always better because you're sacrificing something. Now,
right.
When it comes to that whole issue of empathy, I believe some of them, once again, a lot of them don't take these jobs because one, they feel it's beneath them. And two, they aspire to do other things. And these other things are not lofty goals. They're not real goal-orientated. Like working at McDonald's, like, oh, my goal in life is not to work at McDonald's. That's not my goal. My goal is to go to school and then start this and to do that. Or my goal is to do X, Y, and Z. Like a lot of them are goal-orientated. Because you know what?
Right.
The sometimes color is cute. You ever been on a job and you're working on a job and somebody's due for a promotion, then they turn around and hire somebody from the outside, and of course they don't look like you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't talk like you. You know, they'll be a white person. And you're like, well, wait
right.
a minute. I thought you guys promote from within. Yeah, but we needed somebody on the outside. See, they'll do everything, any and everything to justify. Why.
Right. Right.
Now,
unbelievable.
The sad part is the person that was working there could have been, of course, probably was more qualified than the outside person you hired. But just because they're white, you had to put them on.
Right.
Listen, if you don't want to live near black people, then don't move into our neighborhood.
No, but you're moving gentrification into our neighborhood because
or
it's cheaper.
Else, don't move into, but listen.
Yeah, but to them, it's cheaper.
Well,
it's cheaper.
So then you know what? Bite the bullet and shut up.
Yeah,
bite
but they
the
don't
want to
do
up.
That because they. Okay, and here we go again. This is where the white privilege come in. Oh, I'm here now, so things need to change. Okay, they when they're there, they can do whatever they want to their neighborhood because they are living here. But you know what? I'm living here now with my two children that are 2 and 3 years old, and I want my children to grow to not hear a cursing in the street or smelling marijuana or you know, I don't want them to walk past and they're coming home from school and they see people drinking on the corner or on the weekends there's loud music and it's coming from them. I don't want my kids to hear that. So you know what?
Well, how's white privilege? So white privilege, and listen, white privilege is not going to help you in a situation like that. The only the police will come quicker. That's about it.
Right.
Or the police will stick around the neighborhood to try and quit, you know what I'm saying, to clear stuff up. But then again,
right.
On another end, you're right, because when they start doing the gentrification, they want to move one type of people out and move others in.
Right. Just like I said, if you look at it, think about it. Look how you see how people are, like how, I feel it's just like how it was back in the days where everybody was moving from the south to north. Now everybody's moving from the north to the south now. I feel like once again, I still feel like we're in slavery time all the time because like I said, the majority of people that I know that lived in New York all their lives All of them are down south now. Like, the majority of my friends don't even live in New York anymore.
Listen, I can tell you, from the weekend I had, I'm ready to leave New York, too.
Absolutely. But see, they're doing that on purpose. They want you to, like I said, if they can't get you out of the United States, well, at least we can get you out of certain cities that you can't, you know, we don't want you in.
Okay, so check this out. So let's say they try to bounce as much blacks and minorities out of here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to work at McDonald's? Who's going to do the services?
Mm-hmm.
If they keep pricing us out of the market in terms of rent and everything else, how do you expect us to stay here and live here? If we have to move, we'll flourish someplace else, I'm sure. But
right,
or you're allowing your greed to take over. And when the greed takes over, it starts to push people out. Now, once again, it's like you said earlier, they're not going to take a job at McDonald's. They're not going to take a job at Burger King. There's certain jobs that they're just not going to deal with. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a lot of entitled people that feel like, well, I don't need to start from entry level or bottom level. I'm starting at management or assistant management.
Right. So just like you said, who's going to do those jobs? But you know what's going to happen? No, nobody's going to do – what's going to happen is those jobs are going to move out of New York. Once again, don't you notice, like, I'm going to give you an example, like Church's Fried Chicken. You know, there's no Church's in New York, but I bet you there's one down there where you were at. I bet you there's one in South Carolina. I bet there's one in Georgia.
Church used to be up here. Church's Chicken
used to be up
here.
No, that's what I'm saying. It used to be.
Yeah, I don't know if they can anymore. But I'll tell you one thing that goes along with what you're saying. So I walked by McDonald's one day, and I saw that they had that automatic thing where you could order the food.
Oh, yeah.
So to me, that's basically just a test market before they start getting people pink slips. To be like, well, we don't really need you here. Like, we can have a couple of people here just to, you know, put the food together and stuff like that. But if they can find robots to do it, they would. They would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They would do it. So,
exactly. They're trying to find any way to get rid of us. So that's why I say it's not going. If it does happen, they already got their plan in place of what's going to happen. Oh, if the Negroes leave, okay, we're going to have these computers take the food orders. And just like you said, one or two people will be there to put the order together. But then and just like you said, in a little bit, you won't even have to do that because you know what? If I'm not mistaken, I think it's in Japan or something like that. They have it where the food is being made by like on a conveyor belt. So they do the same thing. They order in their food through the little thing, and the food comes out on a conveyor belt.
Well, somebody.
And then you give the money to a little. You give the money and put it in a little thing, and that's it. There's no person. There's no human contact.
Well, I'm sure there has to be somebody running it or something. But yeah, I mean, I see all of that happening because once again, you got companies that are greedy and they don't want to pay to have people do stuff. They really just pay, get a machine, even though that machine is going to cost way more, and especially in maintenance, they still feel it may wind up being cheaper. Okay, whatever, fine. You don't want us around. You want to. To me, white privilege is just a bunch. Like I said, it's a bunch of entitled people, or people who feel they're self entitled, and they feel everything is theirs. And black people should, once again, walk in their shadow. Like we shouldn't even be here. We shouldn't have certain jobs. We shouldn't be making certain types of music. We just shouldn't be anywhere.
Right.
We're not supposed to be a part of functioning society.
No. And like I said, I think it really came about when after I don't know, one of the shootings the year before last or whatever it was. I think when that came around, that's when, and the thing is, now we got to flip it a little bit where you can see where a lot of white people are starting to notice that their own are using that, you know, for their advantage. And the thing is, you have they're starting to have conversations about it, huh?
Well, some of them been through it. Some of them, listen, there are a lot of Caucasians out there that recognize and know that there's a white privilege thing. But the whole thing is, one thing that they'll do, most of them will do, or some of them will do, I should say, is they'll make sure it's kept on the hush and not leak the secret.
Right.
As to where some of us can't even hold water in a bucket for 5 seconds. You know what I'm saying? We got to just spill it. But
black privilege, you can do. No, you can't.
So I think white privilege is become more of a hot topic because, like, now look, we have this guy in the chief of commander as a chief of commander. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So
Orange Cheeto.
He continues to say what he wants to say, do whatever he wants to do with no real recourse because he feels that he doesn't have to deal with the checks and balances. That's a white man who feels that he's entitled. He's self-entitled.
Mm-hmm.
I can fire anybody. I can hire anybody. I can do whatever I want to do. Nah, nobody's going to tell me anything.
Right, yeah. Like, he's walking out.
But that's generally, and I must say it, because, you know, I've seen it time and time again to a lot of white males out there with the ego. That's their attitude. And if you tell them anything different or you show them anything different, either they're ready to destroy you or they're ready to defy you or deny you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not on board with what they're saying.
Absolutely.
And like I said, when it comes down to us in society, listen, I mean, we don't help each other. We don't unify. Listen, Caucasian people don't unify. They will stick together. There's certain things that they will do to make sure, even if they don't like each other, there's certain things that they will do to make sure they survive and thrive and we don't.
Yep.
That's just
absolutely. Absolutely. And it never stops. I was watching a documentary. Matter of fact, I watched two documentaries, one about the L.A. riots after Rodney King trial, and one from even earlier when the exact thing happened back in 1960-something, and it was like nothing. And both documentaries, they were showing like basically the same type of footage, but it's like nothing changed. And then when you look now in 2009, that was 1960-something, 1992. Now here we are in 2014, 15, 16. It's like nothing changed. We're still going through the same exact thing. Nothing is changing. It's like I don't feel it's ever going to change. Like I told my son earlier, like, you know, because he even asked the question, like, you know, when do things change or when is it going to ever change or why is it, you know, still like this? And I said, just like with the, you know, with the Jewish people and the Islamic people, I said, they still at war. They've been at war for billions of years now. We can't even say millions, but billions of years.
Their wars over there. They're fighting over land. Because over here, they come get money.
Right.
See,
if
the beef is that serious, they would be having that beef over here. But from a person who's been out there, listen, I've seen Arabs and Jews come together to get money and deal with each other. They don't beef over here. Their beef is over there over some damn land.
Over
you know
the land,
saying?
Right.
That's what their beef is all about. You know what I'm saying? And people over there are being disenfranchised because, you know, they feel that, oh, well, this is ours. This is ours. Once again, it's self-entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel that, you know, this is ours and we have rights to this because years ago we fought you and you lost. I don't believe it went that way, but okay. Because I'm not going to get into history lesson. But
right.
Part of the issue of white privilege is like we, as black people, we make it happen. Like we add the fuel for the fire. Like we condone it because when, like you say, when your son asks you about when do things change, the best answer you probably could give him is when does it? Don't ask me. Ask yourself. When does it change?
Mm-hmm.
Because there has to
right.
start somewhere. There has to be a generate. There has to be some type of closure of the generation gap.
Right.
And you have
right.
to start
standing
up and taking charge of what's going on out here.
Right. Exactly. And paying attention. Paying
exactly.
attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah, because listen, a lot of people are breed. Listen, a lot of white people, they're breed makers to be doctors, lawyers, engineers. And all of the types of prestigious stuff. Now, I mean, we got all types of Caucasian people around, but we're only talking about the ones who feel that they're special. I'm
uh-huh.
special. I'm better than you. You don't deserve anything.
Mm-hmm.
Shine my shoes. You know what I'm saying? All this racist stuff that's on. Listen, all Trump did was kind of. He didn't even open the lid. He just peeled it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's saying the racist stuff that they want to hear. He's getting them riled up. And they want to hear
right.
that.
And right,
like,
exactly.
Oh, really?
Exactly.
It doesn't make any
That's...
sense. But I guess it's not about what's supposed to make sense to us. It's all about,
well,
you know what I'm saying, it's supposed to make sense to the
You know, it doesn't make sense, but then again it does because they've been having that white privilege. They've been having that privilege for years. And then with this generation that we have going on now, they are allowing it to come out even more because they're not paying attention.
Well, excuse me. Look at it like this. All right, these law enforcement, these Caucasians that happen to have the job as law enforcement officers that have been involved in some type of shooting or fatal shooting of unarmed black men or just unarmed people in general, okay? It could be said that they get slaps on the wrist or they get a second chance because they're in law enforcement. And law enforcement does not want to have to persecute one of their own people. Or it could be people with bad intentions that get these jobs to turn around and carry out whatever they want to do. And that,
right.
may be shoot a black person or shoot somebody else or this, that, or that. But once again, if you notice, most of the officers are Caucasian.
Right, absolutely.
You don't care about a black officer, Hispanic officer, Indian officer, Asian officer. You don't care about none of them at all. Doing the things that their white counterparts are doing because they know they can't
right.
do it. But the department lets them know that there's a double standard. And it's obvious. There's a
right.
double standard.
Right.
You can't do, what's that saying? Don't do what I do. Or something like, it's some old saying. I remember I think my mom used to
say. Right, don't do what I do.
Do as I say and not as I do.
Not as
and
I do, right, exactly.
That's always been the attitude. Do as I say and not as I do. Listen,
right.
once again, white privilege, slavery.
That's just like, that's just like the young man
having
that was, you know.
Wait, having sex with the male slaves, breaking them down in front of their women and in front of their children. Then having sex with the wife, to break them down and then beating the children killing the children, all to keep them in line. Listen, you can deny your history all you want to, you entitled bastard. But, yo, I'm gonna put you on blast. I'm gonna put you on blast.
Right.
Shit,
oh, they don't deny it. They know what's going on. They know what they did.
Yeah. But the whole thing is a lot of them don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to acknowledge it. Because if you look at it, listen, no one in the history of this planet has been treated as bad as us, maybe except for the indigenous people when they first came in.
Right. Right.
And for the amount of time that's for slavery existence and all the things that they've done gives them that feeling of entitlement because they keep getting away with it and they're not challenged.
Right.
So whose fault is that? Whose fault is that, the fact that they're not challenged? It's like you have a little kid and he turns around and he's running wild in the kitchen, knocking stuff on the floor, and you're like, stop. And he's looking at you, ha, 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 and then he drops his pamper and throw it on the floor. You're like, yo, stop. And he turns around and he opens up the oven door. Of course, the oven is off. And he turns around again. You're like, stop. But as soon as you pop that little ass, it ain't fun no more.
Right.
Everything stops. We never did the pop. We never did the little pop. You better stop that shit. We never did that.
Right.
And that's what needs
right.
to be done. They need to get the listen. Like my Hispanic people, we say, oh, the pow pow. Somebody needs to get the pow pow.
Give them a pow pow.
Yeah, they need the pow pow, B. They got to get the pow pow. And it's the entitlement. It's the ones that feel that we should be under their foot. It's them. Because I mean, there's white people out here that's like, listen, I don't care about that, sis. Like, I'm not getting involved with that. But it is
right.
what it is. And we have 2183. You're on the air with the menu. What's up? Call the 2183. You're on the air with the menu.
How you doing, sir? How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you? Your name is?
Hello, sir.
My name is Andrew. Andrew Finch. I'm from Longview, Texas. I just called in. So.
Okay.
How
you doing, Andrew?
I didn't get a chance to hear the whole beginning of the show, man. I do know it's about white privilege.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just called in. I didn't get a chance to hear exactly what y'all was talking about.
I mean,
Bob and I joined the conversation.
Well, listen, it's not. We weren't getting too deep into the history of it. Point I was trying to make is the fact that. White, not all white people have that white privilege attitude. There's some white people out there, Caucasians, we can say just Caucasians, that do not support that whole self-entitlement attitude. And to them, I commend. To them, I see them as normal human beings. But then you have those that, once again, feel that they are entitled and that black people or other people should be subservient to them. And it's like, no. But the thing is, they've never been challenged. If you look at history, these white privileged people, the people who filled them out, they've never been challenged. And that's the problem. If they're not challenged, they're going to keep doing the same thing that they've been doing over and over and over again for years.
Yep.
So somewhere along the line, they got to get the pow pow. You know what I'm saying? Just like a little kid going crazy and you got to tap him on his little ass or tap him on the hand, stop it. Somebody has to tap them on the hand or the ass. Just let them know, like, yo, this is not cool. Because for all the police shootings, whether you don't want to prosecute them because they're law enforcement or you don't want to prosecute them because basically what, they're white? Listen, majority of these things, and whether the media is pumping it up or not, still and all, why do you always have a consistent, it's always consistently a white cop that's shooting somebody black or somebody else.
Yeah,
exactly. A white cop. Nine times out of
ten. And then that makes it look,
cop.
That's what it makes it look like. Yeah, that, and then it looks, you know, then it starts looking funny or looks suspicious.
Exactly. Like, put it like this. They can say about us, well, it's about habits. So if they say they do studies on us and say that we do certain things by habit, then what the hell do you do?
Right.
So it's like you said, Red, if 10 white cops shoot 12 black people, it's a pattern. If it happens just one time, it's a fluke, it's an occurrence. It's just something crazy that happened in the universe. But for it to consistently be, always be a white cop, and they're black cops, they're Asian cops, they're Indian cops, they're all types of other cops.
From
they're Spanish cops. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can I say something?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Now I have heard some rumors, and you can probably find some. You can probably look this up on YouTube also. Even though, as far as like white privilege goes, even though a white person may not know they have white privilege or exercise the white privilege or whatever you want to say, I think it's how the system is kind of. Now, don't get me wrong, some white people do know they have the privilege, but also the system itself, the way it's designed to favor ethnic group of people than others. And even though some white people really truly may not know they have the privilege, because in their world it's a little different how they get treated, how their life feels is different based on how they've been treated. So when the system treats us a little different, and I think it's designed like that, because some white people can't see or do not understand what it is to be black or understand that treatment, because they've never been treated like that. And I think that some people begin to understand that now that they see it on video, you know, that, hey, wait a minute, they do get treated different than us. Then, so, you know, because usually you just hear black people complain, but there was no evidence. You know, you see all the media, like the recording, thanks to technology, people can see it, witness it for themselves. Because, you know, most of the time when black people say they've been mistreated and done wrong, it's easy to say they lie when there's no evidence, there's no video footage. But now, since there is a face of technology, cell phones, the other people begin to see what black people are really saying. And I think, like I said, the system where it's designed, and some police will tell you this, that if they believe some police quit the force. And when I was in criminal justice, they tell those police and T-Star police to profile black people and treat black people a certain way. When I was in criminal justice in high school, and that was back in late night, like 1998, something like that, we had a criminal justice teacher told us specifically, yeah, they do teach them to profile black people a certain way, and that's how the system is. So when I said the cops need more training, the cops are trained on doing exactly what they're trained to do. And so people don't know that, because like I said, we had a teacher named Mr. Whirling. I was was my teacher in high school. He taught criminal justice in the intro law, and a lot of police was mad at him when he was giving them secrets how to beat the system. But they said, you got laws and rights that most people do not know. A lot of police know that you don't know it, and they'll answer to certain things, and you're so scared and terrified you'll let them do it, and don't even know it's not legal to do. And so even though there are right privileges, yeah, there are privileges mainly inside the system itself. But a system is designed to, to treat black people different than white people. And you got to understand, we live in a country where a system that was designed for black people in the first place.
Exactly.
For every little thing we have, we have to fight for. And so, you cannot blame, so even though there are privileges that white people do have, and sometimes I think knowing that the other black people assume and envy of the white people of that privilege that they themselves not necessarily it benefits them, but they're not it ain't their fault that they're really benefiting from it. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't design the system. And so I think sometimes they there are good white people at the same time, but now I think the main reason the white people some a lot of white people begin to stand up because white people have begun to see the treatment of other black people, those who are good, you know what I'm saying? And some of them will stand up. But, you know, years ago they wouldn't stand up because I think it was just, well, you just complaining or you just making stuff up, you know, because their world is different. You know, it's hard to understand something if you never experienced it. So you say, well, y'all just
right.
Because you know the media always lying and slanting stuff. And now that you got video footage of people getting killed broad daylight, they can't say, well, you don't got our story anymore because you see the footage. And they're still getting off.
Yeah, but they see the footage and nothing's being done.
Exactly.
You see the footage, but guess what?
Exactly. So people get up to see that the system is basically designed to be racist. No.
True. Well, hold on for a second, sir. Well, hold on for a second, Andrew. Call the 5891. You're on with the menu. What's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the one and only Professor.
Oh, okay, dog. What's up, brother?
Hello.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing? Andrew from Texas on the line.
Hey, Andrew, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, Professor?
Hey, man, we just here, man. We just here up in New York living it. Man, listen, what I got to say is that this whole thing about the white privilege, let's look at the way that this nation is run. White privilege does run this country. And we see it time and time again with the constant injustices that we as a people continue to face at the hand of white privilege. You know, and let me start by saying this. No, I'm not a racist. I have a racist bone in my body, but I'm just going to keep it real with everybody. I hope you understand what I'm saying. In terms of, like, in the recent cases of police shootings, and I'm glad that, and the brother Andrew, Andrew, you there, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, you know, like you said about the videos, I mean, there is constant proof of these horrible things happening where a police officer could shoot and kill a black person or beat a black person down to the ground, and for some reason, even though the evidence is there, they still get off.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. We've seen that happen. I mean, let's look at it this way. 2 years ago, look at what happened to Eric Garner. None of those police officers got punished. Not one.
Okay.
Actually, you know what was crazy?
You know what was crazy? There was a black sergeant, black female sergeant, that actually got in trouble maybe a year later, and they hit her with this failure to supervise. You know, the scene, because she was on the scene. They said that, you know, she failed to supervise what was going on, so they stuck it on her. Not the cop.
Right.
Really.
They had to put somebody.
They got her because she participated. So that's why she's a supervisor. I remember that story, but the reason is she knew they weren't right. So they stuck it on her because she was over. But see,
right.
That don't stick in the arms of the sergeant. Also, when the police get caught doing wrong, when they let the police go, they don't blame the sergeant from not
properly
training them right.
Exactly.
You know?
But let me ask this question. K-Dog, I want you, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm Andrew, and then, you know, Big Red.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If it was a white sergeant, because my thing is this. We all know it went down. It was an Italian dude, jumped on a black dude, leave the chokehold.
Yeah.
And everybody else jumped on top and choked him out. Okay. Couldn't breathe. All right. We already know what happened. Now, my thing is, instead of blaming the Caucasian cop that did it, how do you shift the blame and not say that it's racist on a black sergeant that was there and say that it's on her? Like, your job is on the line now because you failed to supervise.
Because it's a scapegoat.
What's your take on that?
It's a scapegoat. Let me tell you something.
It's a scapegoat.
My take on it, it's a scapegoat because you know what? They weren't quick to punish the officer who actually committed the crime, but yet they're going to put the blame on someone else just to cover themselves. And what was wrong about this whole case was this, was that the evidence was right there.
Right.
It was front and center.
Yeah.
I mean, so, let's look at
Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
Let me give you some time to Andrew. Andrew, what you got to say on it?
Well, like I said, that's just, no, first of all, she's expendable. Black people are expendable in the system.
Mm-hmm.
In all areas, in all professions.
Exactly.
That's how I look at the whole system. The whole system is this. This is how I look at it. Now I'm going to do recording. This is my opinion. Yeah, I don't have to agree with this. I know this might scare black people, but you have to face the reality of what this is about. My personal take, and this is my opinion, I don't care what anybody say, I think as far as us in this country with the for such as black people or people of color, I don't think we have really rights. I think we got privileges. They can be taken away anytime they get ready. Anytime they want to take them away, hey, you tap dance, hey, it was a nice ride, no one can let you go. And it's been like that since slavery. We always been the workhorse. We always they just explore us for our talent, whether if it's basketball, entertainment, wherever it is, but we're expendable. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Well, our job is to be the workhorse and the fall guy. And as a black person in any profession, unless you're stupid and coonish, you know good and well, when it comes to our job and our position, no matter how we go up, we feel, and I notice at any level, we feel that we must do, we ain't going to say nothing because we're trying to keep our job, first of all. So most likely she's not gonna say anything. First of all, you know, if she did say something, she's still gonna get fired. So, you know what I'm saying? Is she gonna get the flow?
Right,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Either way, I thought she would have got fired anyway.
Exactly.
Right, so Big Red, what's your take on it?
It's a scapegoat because they figure let's blame once again blame the black person. You know what? They get blamed for everything else. Blame the black person.
Mm-hmm.
And she a woman? Blame her. She's a woman and she black. You know what? Blame her. She can afford to lose her job. You know why she can afford to lose her job? Because she can always go on welfare. You know them black people. They know how to survive. They can go on welfare or her baby daddy. Yeah, that's how they think. Blame her. We're not going to blame our people. We're not going to put our people on the line like that. That's just like, I'm going to give you another example, huh?
Big Red, the reason Eric Garner is
because that Eric Garner posed as a threat. That's what they'll come
what
out and say.
What threat was Eric Garner? You know what I'm saying?
He wasn't
like
a threat.
The media, listen. Well, that's the thing.
He wasn't a threat.
He can sit there and say that he sells cigarettes. He can sit there and say he sells T-shirts and all this and that. The man didn't do anything to warrant him being treated in that fashion. But
exactly.
He didn't have no weapon.
Exactly. But what?
He wasn't fighting back.
He wasn't fighting.
Nope. He wasn't.
Yeah,
he wasn't fighting back.
But wait a minute. See now what? We don't, a lot of our people and others don't realize is that under the radar, that whole Eric Garner thing opened a window for law enforcement to change the definition of what is resisting arrest.
Mm-hmm.
So if a cop is saying, oh, hey, dog, I need you to stop right there and turn around, and you say for what? He can say, oh, you're resisting.
He was resisting, right.
How was I resisting?
You're resisting.
I'm being verbal.
But wait a minute. Because, see, that's the thing. The Eric Garner situation opened a window for them to go undercover and change the rules of what resisting arrest is. See, before, years ago, resisting arrest used to be you physically fighting, or just like running away or something like that. Now, anything you say that's against what they, if you do not comply, you're resisting.
Right.
Simple and plain.
But
if they tell you to shut up, and you don't shut up, it's resisting.
Right, they put those rules out when they feel like it. Those rules apply when they want to put them out there.
Exactly.
When it applies when they want it to apply.
But is that law enforcement or is that white privilege?
Oh, I think it's law enforcement.
It's
I think it's a little bit of both. Let me put it down to you like this, people. So I'm about to lay it down on you. Check out how the difference. See, white privilege is here because you know why? Look at how a police officer will stop a white person comparing how they'll stop a black or a Hispanic person. Check it out. What's the difference? When a white person is stopped, they usually slap you with, okay, yeah, don't let me catch you doing that again. Yeah, we'll let you off this time. But let a black person get caught driving drunk. What do you think is going to happen to that person?
He may not come home.
They're going to go.
And he may not come home.
Another thing, I know it's this also about white people. They're a lot more bolder to police than black people. I've seen videos of white people cuss police, stop fighting police, call them all kinds of names. I've seen some video. They can look them up. They are aggressive. They're like, what's your badge number? They have a whole lot of questions about when they start asking police questions, they'll back down and leave them alone. And that's the white privilege.
A black person answers the question, they don't got to answer the question.
A white person answers the question, they get scared and get in their car and drive off.
Yeah, they'll just get slapped with something, but then after, let it be a black or Hispanic person, or even more better, let it be someone from the Middle East.
Oh yeah.
They really get. You know, they still mad about September 11th.
Listen, they still mad about we ain't slaves no more. We ain't slaves anymore.
What's his name? Oh, Bin Laden. I was gonna say still mad about Bin Laden. Or Saddam.
They still mad.
I would say they're still mad about everything.
They still mad that President Barack Obama won 2 terms in office.
Y'all remember this? We knew it was gonna go down here, and I remember this being said. And since O.J. Simpson got the hook, we knew.
Everybody said, oh my God, we know we're in trouble.
And Obama just put the icing on the cake. But what we do with that, when Rodney King and O.J. Simpson would hurt the system.
But one of the portions where we failed is we didn't take advantage of the situation. Instead, a lot of us expected Obama to all of a sudden
hand out coupons to movies
and free cigarettes and, you know, this, that, and the third. And
cell phones.
Free home loans and stuff like that. Everybody, that's what we're expecting, a hookup. And it didn't go down
like
that.
And Brother B, what did I say about all of that? I said it time and time again, and people were calling me all sorts of names. Oh, you cooning? Oh, you protecting? I'm like, let me tell you something. It's not cooning. It's being real. President Barack Obama is not the president of the black community. He is the president of the United States of America. There was nothing he could have done. What we needed to do, we should have been doing this, making him look better.
We should have been making him look better
because you know what? Let me tell you something. We do live in a white privileged country. We live in a country filled with white privilege. Instead of us sitting there protesting, getting mad, instead of grieving, we organize. That's what we got to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Organize. Put together.
But that's the thing. You know why it's not going to happen? Because, once again, the white privilege always prevails. The white privilege is always going to prevail. The entitled white people. Not everybody.
Not all Caucasians.
Right.
Because some of them, there's Caucasians out there that don't play that. You know what I'm saying? But there are those who feed into the entitlement, who feed into the privilege, and they want to keep their position. They want to continue white privilege because you know what? They don't know anything else. See, they can't they can't live. Some of them can't live how we live. If
that's
you
why
ain't have food, if you ain't have a food in the fridge, if, listen, if you had ketchup and a loaf of and some bread, you had a sandwich. Some of them can't do that.
Suicide.
I remember in the history books years ago, where was it, Black Friday or something like that, when the Wall Street when the Wall Street crashed years ago. What was it, back in 18-something or 19-something?
Back
you
in
had cats jumping out. 1920, you had cats jumping out the roof, jumping out windows,
and
killing
and
themselves.
And you know what? And I'm glad you brought that up, Brother B. Because,
listen,
Brother
we
B, I'm glad you brought
today.
That up, the crash of 1929. Because you know when the Great Depression happened, you know who suffered the worst of it? It wasn't any white people. It was mostly blacks that suffered. We suffered the worst because we were the first ones fired and the last ones hired.
Of course. White privilege.
And that's why we got stronger. That's why we got the
exactly.
Yep. Exactly.
Welcome
it's
to the real world.
Sickening. It's sickening. It's just like you know, just like when that young man had got shot by the cop in Pink Houses. You notice how that went away, but you notice that because he was what was he? He was Chinese, right?
He was Asian.
Yeah,
he was Asian.
Asian cop. Yeah. So they made sure. Oh, we're gonna try him. Oh, we're gonna get him for this and get him for that.
He was a
but you notice how you don't hear about that no more.
Nope.
You know why? Wait, first of all, sorry, Andrew. I don't know what happened. The call got dropped. You're welcome to call back in, sir. Andrew from Texas. Thank you. The thing with that was everybody knew it was BS.
Right.
NYPD nor, well, really this kid, they didn't really want to, some of them just didn't want to turn him over like that. Broke procedure. He broke procedure. He wasn't having your gun out in the dark stairwell. That's not, I mean, come on, that's not something you're supposed to do. But another thing is, it's obvious that he was scared. It's obvious that he was scared. Anybody would generally be scared. So my thing is, they knew it was an accident. It was something that went wrong because he screwed up. But they needed a scapegoat at the time because I forgot what else was going on. I think there was some other police shooting. So they had to use that Asian dude as a scapegoat to pacify
the community.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
If you notice, the Asian community stepped in and said something. See, we don't do stuff like that. They stepped in and said, no, we see what you're doing, and you're not going
to
do it. So that's
do
why
it to
I got
him.
Swept
that's
under
right.
the rug.
Exactly.
That's why I got
swept
under the rug, because they didn't expect the Asian community to rally behind him. Because he's not going to do any jail time.
Right.
And if they try to say that he is going to do jail time, trust me, you'll never hear about it. He's not going to really do it.
I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy. That doesn't make any sense.
So really, they had to use him as a scapegoat. But the whole thing is, if it was a white beat, it's funny. What his situation was, I believe it was an accident. This guy.
I mean, I believe that too. Yeah, I actually do believe that.
He got scared.
I think it was an accident. I think he was scared. But you choking Eric Garner, you a white cop shooting a 15-year-old in the face that's sitting in a car, you're with a rifle.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not an accident.
That wasn't no accident.
There was no accident. And of course, let's not forget another shooting that happened.
Trayvon Martin.
Let's not forget
that wasn't no
Trayvon
accident.
Martin. Let's talk about
Anton Sterling. That was no accident.
Tamar Rice.
That was no accident.
That was no accident.
Yep, Tamar Rice.
Tamar Rice was no accident. And you know what? Like I bring up Amadou Diallo.
Oh, yeah. That definitely wasn't no
that
accident.
That was no accident.
You know that.
41 bullets fired at an unarmed man. I mean, that case right there was the most disturbing, was one of the most disturbing
cases.
Yeah,
to me, that was hard.
41 bullets fired at an unarmed man. And thanks to Rudolph Giuliani, he helped those police officers. He defended those police officers from day one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know what?
Yep.
Those four cops got off. And this is where the white privilege come in. Now, what would have happened if it was a if it was four black cops who shot and killed an unarmed white man.
They would have got,
you know what?
They would have got fired, no pay, and went to jail probably.
Listen, people would have been screaming for blood.
Mm-hmm. And it would have got death threats from white people.
Off with their
like,
heads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
They're like, what? Like,
off
one
with
man
their
recently,
heads.
One man,
but you,
recently, some black man, I watched a video, the white people leaving him a voicemail to my, they're going to put a rope around your neck. I can't remember what it was. I was just listening to it today. And white people calling this black man because something he did to defend somebody. And I got to go back and share it.
I didn't read the story, but I think I saw it. I was wondering why, like, what's
yeah,
the reason for telling me, oh, we're going to hang you, and this is like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
See,
that's too much.
See, that's
wow.
Our problem. Like, as black people, we really can't be racist because what do we have to be racist for?
Exactly.
So white people got everything. They just mad because they don't want to share. They just mad because they just don't want to share.
Listen.
So it's like, yo.
You, with all the guilt that,
huh?
With all the things that black people have given to this world, let's look at it in terms of religion, in terms of science, in terms of the arts. In terms of education,
K-Dog,
look at the things that we
K-Dog,
have accomplished.
K-Dog, are we all in agreement? We're having open conversation. Because I'm gonna tell you right now, if I was a white privileged feeling person, I wouldn't like your ass either. Why? Because you're creative, because you're smart, because your genetics are better, and because
mm-hmm.
you got a great history, and
cute.
I can't claim it. So I ain't gonna like
exactly.
Because you fed my
kids and you help feed my kids because if you
yeah.
wasn't picking that cotton, I wouldn't be able to make no money off that cotton.
Yeah,
you
and that
nanny.
woman cooking for.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And taking care of the kid.
I think the comedian Paul Mooney said his best. He said, "Of course, white people are mad." He said, "If you notice, when we were slaves, they were so happy, everything was so nice, but then as soon as we came out of the chains, they got mad. Listen, because your chef, your nanny, your side piece, and your whipping boy, all that stuff was gone. You ain't have that no more.
Nope.
Gonna be mad, because they ain't got nobody
to
cook
have,
for them.
And they
ain't got
work.
Nobody to abuse.
Yeah, they got to work. They ain't have to
something
work.
That they,
make,
cool.
they got,
something
they got
that
money
they're
out of black people.
Sure.
They have to work.
Right.
Yep.
They didn't have to do nothing.
But
they didn't
yeah,
have to
all
do
all
a life. Damn thing.
Uh-uh. Yeah, call the 3054. You're on the air with the menu. What up?
White power.
Hot Rod.
Oh, man.
Andrew from Texas. This is the infamous Hot Rod.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Who also does a show tomorrow night at 10:30 p.m. for The Absolute Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So, Hot Rod, how you doing?
Hello, thank you so much. I just want to tell you a quick little story, and I'm sure, is K-Dog on the line? I don't know. If he could relate to this story.
Yeah.
But if, one night, K-Dog, Anitra B, who is white, and I went out partying. We had a little bit too much to drink, of course, and she drove us back to Brooklyn, and we got pulled over by the cops because she crossed a red light. Once again, we was drinking. K-Dog and I, the two black guys in the car, we was very quiet.
Yep.
I told her we were very quiet, like Elmo Fudd.
We were quiet up in there.
The cops came, talked to Nisha B. He asked us, "Do we know how to drive?" K-Go and I said, "Nope." In a car second, the officer told us to step out the car, take a taxi, and go home. Cool, no problems. Anitra, thank you. You're lucky that you're white because it was just K-Dog and I. We'd probably be shot dead already.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anitra B and I, we go back for many years now about white privilege. And I think most people know what white privilege is, but don't understand it or don't see it themselves. But they've never been through a struggle like we go through every day.
No, they haven't.
So I'm like, Anitra B, trust me, because of you, Kato and I are still alive. Who knows what could happen to us? Oh, no, no, mm-hmm. You will not do anything to us. You don't know that. You hear these cops telling us every single time on the news.
Well, first
of
all,
Anitra B. Yeah?
Real quick, I know they looked in the car and said, ma'am, are you okay? Because
exactly.
They probably thought she was being kidnapped or something.
Exactly.
You know, I'm telling you, Kato and I, we were sitting like our life was on the line right now.
Yep,
and
we were like, oh man, they're going to kill us.
Even though they didn't stop us because we did something
man,
wrong, Anitra B wasn't scared. But, you know, she's like, okay, she probably got to talk her way out of it. But her, Kato and I, we are free for our lives. Go
yeah, right,
her.
Exactly.
And they were following us, and they were following us a long time, too.
Wow.
They kind of told us to get out the car. And you know what? And there was no tickets given neither. There were no tickets. They just told us, take a cab.
Why?
Now,
why there was no ticket? Because white power.
White power. I got to ask Mr. Andrew, because you in Texas. It's kind of thick over there with racism in certain parts of Texas, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm in East Texas, but I can tell you in some parts of Texas, thank God I'm in a smaller city, Longview, it's not as bad in East Texas. Most crimes, we got black-on-black crimes in East Texas, believe it or not. I hate to say it, but it's true. But in other parts of Texas, like the major cities, where like down south or mid Texas, that's still hang a black person.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of stuff goes in Texas. You heard recently a lot of stuff was going on in Texas that's in the news from, like, the recent somebody got, 50-year-old got shot or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Texas, the reason you don't hear too much about Texas because they quit to cover stuff up with money or they don't air it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think it ain't going.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy, he had a white girlfriend. It was like a couple of years ago. They killed him because it was a racist town. You know, some parts of Texas, you do not want to stop. That would hang.
Oh,
you and kill
wow.
Him. And some parts of Texas,
man.
And that's a map. It's called the map. Did you? It's okay. What's the name of this map? Where you can find all the hate groups and stuff. Well, like
you got
groups, organizations. You got them all over
map?
America. You got a lot of them in Texas.
Damn.
White groups.
I don't mean to cut you off, but that's what killed me. But that's what I'm saying about, well, why do black people want to move to these states and they know that these states are racist?
Exactly.
Well,
even that live here in New York.
They do, but let's face it, how often do you hear Texas in the news compared to New York, Chicago?
No, I understand.
They keep it
I understand that. But I mean, you hear people, like I said, I hear a lot of people that I know, I'm moving to Georgia, or I'm moving to South Carolina,
I'm going to Texas, or I'm going to Florida.
They
moved out here, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Texas has got the best economic for work. It does.
Yes,
Texas,
I heard that,
New Mexico.
Yes,
right, I understand that.
That's
but
why.
That's if you live long. If that's if you live long enough or, you know, to even enjoy it.
Well, you know what?
Especially as a black man.
Let me tell you something. Black people down south is pretty blind and dumb. They're very dumb. I'm telling you, they're very dumb. They're very blind. The black people are very blind, you know, to things. You know, mentality of black people is a little different down here than it is up north.
Why is that?
Where slavery in the states where slavery is very strong at, does black people still have a mind state of slavery?
Right.
So they just they take one for the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not lying. I'm just being honest. The people, they're not free mentally.
Wow.
And you know
that's
what? I guess that goes for the same for the white people down there, the rednecks. They still their own type of slavery. They're the ones that vote for Donald Trump or the vote for the Republicans.
Yeah.
And you know, and they're still poor. They vote for the Republicans, and they are
well,
still
you know
poor.
What,
go
though,
figure.
Some people rather be white and poor than black and poor.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow,
know,
ain't that something?
I was reading about
that.
I was reading up from a media outlet about this whole thing. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that dude Donald Trump. They said that ever since the election, he's given birth to the new age white nationalism. He's given them a rebirth.
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And let me tell you something about poor racist people. Poor racist people. They still, and let's face it, the system got everybody blind, even white people to a extent. They still poor white people believe in that white American dream. Still, they die hard. It, even though it's kind of like religion, it's kind of like people still believe in the white Jesus and Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. They're still hanging on to that faith. They ain't done nothing for them. It's the same thing with this white pride. Even though let's face it, a lot of white people getting to realize that the white privilege has really been going down the hill. And that's why they end up on these drugs and commit suicide instead of calling it a war against drugs. They call it a medical issue. I don't know if you heard about this recently. Because a lot of them can't cope with it and they start turning on drugs, but they don't look at it. They don't call it war on drugs. The black people incarcerated, they call it a medical issue. They want to help them all of a sudden. But white people still hang on. They believe in this American dream, and the American dream ain't for black people. They still hanging on to it. That's how you keep people divided. You got to keep white people believing in some type of hope that's not really there. And so they think they're better than black people, which they're really not. They still going to be poor white trash.
Well, that's part of the
that's crazy.
That's part of it's being put up on a pedestal. Now,
they deceive still, though, because you're still nothing. They'll tell you. And let's face it, a lot of rich white people don't care about a lot of poor white people at all.
Money is money.
That's
still
like
poor.
Niggas. Yep, exactly.
It's true. That's true. I mean, it's sad that it's 2017.
There's a lot of confusion. People
and
are blind.
Still, and
you still see this going on.
But
yeah.
It's 2017, yep. And we're still talking about color.
Right.
So
well,
who is it?
Well,
so
brother B,
so I'm gonna ask Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Is it us? Is it us? Or is it everybody else talking about color? Who is it?
I think it's
the media.
It's the media. Yeah,
it's the media.
Yeah.
It's the media.
But
it's the media.
Well,
it's the media. It's the media programming people. You see, listen. I guarantee you, like, all you gotta do is wherever people see on TV, they're gonna follow behind and ride behind. And it may not be true, just because. Some black people got killed, and they know what's going to sell. They know what people going to follow. They know there's a lot of money in it. They know what they're doing.
Hot Rod, your background is media. Like, what's your take on it?
I agree 100%. Racism and war build hype. People watch all about the money. Everything comes out the money. So, of course, racism is part of it, too. I don't understand racism. But why do I like you guys because you're black or white? It shouldn't matter. But we've been brainwashed by the system all our lives. Unfortunately, we'll still continue. Even look at yourself in the office. You see yourself in the office with a white man. And something happened. Oh, it's a white man's fault. Oh, I don't like you because you're white. You know, like perfect example. They were putting pictures on the wall, like my coworker. The first thing I said, why are the black pictures on the bottom of the door? You know, it has nothing to do with it, but that's our mentality. You know, everybody took it as a joke, but no, the white people was at the top of the door. Everybody said that the black people was at the bottom. It was on like three black people on the door.
Wow,
that's our mentality. That's how we all think.
I'm gonna tell you the strongest thing to hold black people down is, and I want y'all to think about this very clearly. It's Christianity. It's not a religion. The white man religion forced down our throat. We got
to
hold on.
But don't get too deep, brother.
I'm not gonna get real. I'm gonna get real. I'm gonna sum it up.
Brother, speak it.
Yeah. Okay. The white Jesus coming out of blue hair, right? You have this image of a white Jesus who holds the key to your salvation. He is the master. He is the slave master. Now, and you know in the New Testament, they add word translated, a slaves obey your master. Well, how did it get in the Bible from the New Testament? We know God's against slavery and stuff. So why is it slaves obey your masters in the Bible when God set people free? Well, this is the thing. Christianity is a stronghold. When you see the white man, you subliminally see Jesus as a white man, deep in your subconscious. If you don't obey that white man, it's just like disobeying Jesus, who's holding the key to your salvation. And so, therefore, you easy for you to forgive that white man than it's your own color. There you go.
But don't forget to give the white man some money, okay, every week in church. So,
oh,
because
the money,
what it is.
Catholics brought that in. Catholic love, man, is most religions stem from Catholicism, and they that's why they add paganism. It's all about money. Catholics want to find a way to make money, so they mix up religion and paganism to bring both in and get their money.
Don't need
money.
You know, religion is a scapegoat. Because guess what? Religion is it has a stronghold, especially those in the black community who are faithful to their church, who are faithful to their pastor. They go there every Sunday. They will lay their lives on the line for the pastor. Because you know what?
Yep.
Let me just say this.
They give them the rent money and everything.
Yeah, they give rent money. They'll give everything. Because you know what? It has a stronghold on them. Because let's look at it this way. During the days of slavery, the only book that the slaves were allowed to read was the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason for it.
They would beat that into them. They would beat that religion into them. They would tell them, if you don't believe what we believe, we're going to whip you. Okay,
exactly.
Get up on that tree and put your hand up on that tree so we can whip you. It's like they got the religion beat into them.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Fell for it, okey-doke. And that's the strong thing.
Yep.
Thing.
And it's still going on.
And we listen to that people now. Oh, what you going to do? Oh, I ain't going to do nothing. I'm going to let God take care of it. Okay, you go right ahead and let God take care of it. You let God take care of the people that get locked up. Let God take care of them and get shot. We're going to see what God going to do. So it's a mechanism to forgive and don't do shit. And I hate to see it. And that's not
right.
If you really read the Bible clearly, it don't say nothing about not doing nothing. If you understand some of the passages in the Bible, it tells you a lot of places you should defend yourself. And God gave you the power to defend yourself. But the way the religion is set up for the black man is to program them. And they apparently don't read their Bible, don't read certain scriptures, don't read the whole book. You know, the real Messiah, Yahshua, that's his real name, named Jesus, Yahshua, which was a monk.
Yeah.
He didn't follow none of those religious traditions because he said those stories that y'all believe, Old Testament, is not true. Those stories y'all believe, everything Jesus did, listen carefully, he broke everything in the Torah. Everything he did was against Old Testament. He did everything different. He said he didn't follow organized religion. He called it hypocrites. So y'all know what I believe. And it's the same thing today. It's organized religion. It's the true Messiah did not believe in him. And you know, with a stronghold against people. They didn't understand what they believed.
Right.
All right, so
the real Messiah. Not the state to see. What they did was they got the Bible, took some truth, and they added some lies in it. What they did is the Bible. That's why they wanted to force people who had
that was the way they translated it.
Well, hold on. So, we got less than 60 seconds left. Andrew from Texas, thank you for calling. You're always welcome on the menu. You know, I'd love to know that. Hot Rod, play on your show real quick for tomorrow. Hurry.
Tomorrow night we're going to be talking about how much kids care a woman should have.
Thank you for calling in, K Dog. Big Red. This is Big Red.
Yes,
Brother B. Signing off. Another episode of the Nick the King. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. And
peace out.
Everybody have a good night.
Okay,
and
peace out. Later.
I'm a
caller.
All right, y'all.
Later.
All right.
Bye.
Later, guys.
Later, bye.
Later.